We kick off hour number two of the program. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. They got you covered for all your banking needs right here in East Tennessee. Over 30 branches, 86 years. They've been in business since 1934. And become a member like we have. The lobbies are open, and you can bank online or through the app as well. It's the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union, the official credit union of Three and Out. All right, so as
week one in the books.
Across the landscape of the NFL after week one.
Best team.
Chiefs.
Chiefs, yeah.
No argument there.
Ravens, right there with
them,
I think.
They're up there. I mean, they're going to continue to be good. The Browns just suck in in season openers. And I am just kind of curious because you have seen the league really start to change as far as the style of offense that is taking over. When you look at the quarterbacks that are really, I mean, you talk about former Heisman winners that are just kind of really making things look great, like the Kyler Murrays, the Lamar Jacksons of the world, starting to make those defenses have to adjust. And right now they've not done a good job.
Yeah, I think the AFC feels top-heavy again, I think, with just those two. And then you've got kind of that next group of teams that all probably could beat them, but are all about the same. The NFC feels a little deeper to me, but maybe not as strong at the top. I don't know. It's weird. The Green Bay-Minnesota game, just all the points being scored in that one kind of surprised me. I don't know what to make of teams like either one of those, really. San Francisco losing to Arizona, it's like, all right, is San Francisco not as good this year? Are they having the Super Bowl loss hangover, or has Arizona just taken the next step, especially on defense? I mean, to hold San Francisco to 20 points in their building, has Arizona's defense – they gave up that long touchdown to Mostert, but I know Kittle sprained his knee, but he came back and played some. They were able to just – keep Jimmy G and San Francisco out of the end zone, and then eventually Kyler Murray, as Davey pointed out, gave him fits on the ground. He actually had over 100 yards before he took two shotgun kneel down plays to lose 9 at the end of the game. So I don't know. You got teams in the AFC that just feel like they're
Arizona's going to be right there. I still think NFC West so far, Seattle. I mean, I know it was Atlanta, but Russell Wilson looked like old Russell Wilson.
That offense was cooking, and Russell Wilson has his best group of playmakers around him that he's had in his career this year.
Very, very good.
What do you do with the Patriots? How do you stack them up with Chiefs?
I'm still waiting
Ravens,
to see on the Patriots.
Bills.
I didn't think it was that good of a performance. Their defense looked all right. Typically, I know they had a lot of guys opt out, and so bringing in some of those people to fill those positions – I don't know how it's going to go. Hell, they were going up against Ryan Fitzpatrick, so it's I don't.
Who was awful?
I think you'll get a better idea this week whenever they do play the Seahawks of how they stack up. Because right now, Seattle's got a top five offense in the league, so we'll get to see what Belichick's able to do there.
In that division, I'm taking the Bills based on week one, but I'm not writing the Patriots off just yet. The Bills were just more impressive.
You think the Bills win the division? Pats will make one of the three wild cards?
No, I just said after week one, I like the Bills more than the Pats. But with Cam, it could look completely different next week. I'm waiting to see.
Well, the thing
but we know
Cam,
who the starter is for the Bills for the remainder of the season if he stays healthy.
With Cam, can't he continue to run? I think he only had 15 carries.
Not 15 times a game.
So I think that's what Belichick wants to do.
Well, that's my question, though. Is that their plan indefinitely until he gets hurt? Are they just going to ride him until he can't go, and then it's, okay, we got Stidham now? Or do we see him less and less in the run game each week as he starts to learn more of the passing concepts within the offense? Let's not forget, he didn't get there until, a couple months ago? So it's not like he's been there for a year soaking it all in.
The Rams beat the Cowboys, right?
Yeah.
NFL.com has the Rams 0-1.
That is inaccurate. Inaccurate.
Weird.
AFC North, yeah, I'm Ravens, easy. But Pittsburgh looked okay last night. They looked okay. If Roethlisberger stays healthy, he doesn't have a ton of weapons, but they might not be too bad.
I think all jacked up. They got the Bills 0-1. Am I looking at the Bills 0-1? Are you looking at last year? The Lions are 1-0.
Yeah, that's – is it? Is it everything
just
backwards?
Football team 1-0. No, it has a lot of them right.
Mm. I'd get off of that.
Yeah, the Ravens 0-1.
Yeah, I would stop.
That is
I would
really
leave.
Weird.
Leave it. AFC South, Titans.
Right now, yeah, and it's not because the Titans look good. Everyone else just didn't. And, I mean, that Colts team was where a lot of the question marks were coming in. You know, they still have a lot of – that offensive line was able to protect Phillip Rivers. It's a good offensive line. Their defense didn't look terrible. But, again, it's Phillip Rivers. He's not going to be able to do anything for you once you get into the playoffs, mm-hmm. if you make the playoffs.
Right.
I still think the Texans got a good shot just because of Deshaun Watson. If Deshaun Watson goes down, that team is just done for. Like he's the reason that team
Who
can stay
is his
in the
backup?
Games.
I don't even know.
AJ McCarron.
Mm-hmm. yeah, safe to say they're in deep trouble.
He started the last game of the season last year against the Titans.
Oh yeah. That yeah. we needed to win to get into the playoffs and they had already seen, AFC West, duh. Chiefs.
I think the Not AFC West second. Only gets one team in. I don't think the Raiders are going to be good enough. I don't think the Broncos, Drew Locke's not going to get his team to the playoffs.
His small hands, man. He's only going to get worse as the weather gets worse.
And the Chargers. Like,
no, they're off.
Anthony Lynn's going to get fired.
Hey, the Chargers won, but they're pretty bad.
If I'm going through coaches that are going to get fired at the end of this year, Anthony Lynn, Dan Quinn, Matt Patricia.
Oof.
Doug Marrone.
Go out on a limb here.
Bears, maybe.
Matt.
Nagy.
Yeah, he's probably out.
They want to know, man. They came back and beat the Lions. What are you talking about? I don't know what to make of the NFC East.
I figured out these records. They're all backwards. They typed in every record backwards. Like every single one of them. But obviously you don't notice if it's 2-1-0 or 0-1 teams.
Who's the best team in the NFC East? The only one with a win in week one was football team.
I'm not.
I mean, they had the best defensive
Cowboys.
Line.
How many times?
62 hurries. 8 sacks on Carson Wentz.
62?
Hurries, yeah. That's what ESPN.com said on the stat sheet.
That can't be right.
They didn't even throw 62 passes. Well, that's – well, they for there to be 62 hurries, there has to be at least 62 pass attempts.
Under the little sack number against Carson Wentz, it said 8-62.
That's 62 sacks. Yards. Will.
It was 8 sacks for 62 yards.
Okay, well, no one explained that to me.
Okay, well,
don't say it like it's written in stone.
Gospel.
Be like, I don't know what that 62 was after, but.
NFC North, Green Bay looked really good, at least offensively in week one.
I actually think the Cowboys look like the best team.
I do, too. I think it's the Cowboys, and then, I mean, toss-up after that.
The Eagles were missing at least
Everybody.
Two offensive linemen, maybe three.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they are.
The New York Giants are missing five
guy.
Offensive linemen.
What?
Saying they stink.
I think the Eagles had another guy go down that's going to miss some
Miles Sanders
substantial
as well.
Playing time.
They're running back.
He's hoping to come back this week.
Oh, never mind.
I really don't think there's that much of an upgrade between Miles Sanders and Boston Scott.
It says sacks right there, 8-62. What are you talking? How do you?
How many hurries?
It doesn't say hurries.
I assume that.
No, you got to count them up on the defensive side.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. I'll teach you how to read the stat sheet one day. NFC South, I guess the Saints.
Yeah.
Atlanta's got some offensive firepower. They just have no defense. And then, yeah, we talked about the NFC West.
They don't have
Seahawks.
Hurries. Just quarterback hits.
Oh, I thought they had hurries.
No.
Just hits?
Yep. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Oh, yeah, it's total at the bottom for me. I didn't have to count them.
Biggest disappointment in week one for the NFL? Like a team you thought had a shot that was going to be pretty good and just...
I mean, I didn't think they were going to be pretty good, but it's got to be the Colts.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like...
Given the opponent, right?
They're like, we got Phillip Rivers now. It's going to be so much better. And it's like, yeah, he just put up a lot more yards than Jacoby Brissett, and you still lost by probably the same score you would have with any other quarterback.
I mean, it's hard not to think it's the
Whitlock
Colts, right?
This morning driving in was like, Jameis Winston could have thrown that pick six like Tom Brady did.
He did.
No, Jameis would have thrown it to a linebacker over the middle. That was too far out of Jameis's comfort zone to throw across the numbers.
Well, he couldn't see it back then. He's got contacts now. Yeah, or LASIK won. I mean, the way the Lions lost was super disappointing.
You expect that.
Buddy, nobody expects Mitchell Trubisky to throw three touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
No, I'm not saying you expect Trubisky to do what he did. You just expect the Lions to somehow figure out a way to blow it late.
Just the way that it happened. I mean, it's one thing. My bad.
I didn't mean to cut you
off. No, yeah, but they're so banged up. I mean, I agree with you. You're up 17-0. You should win that game. And then especially was Washington the second lowest projected win total in the NFL?
Probably.
Was it not the Jags and then the football team? Football team. 0-1.
I need Gardner to do just enough to where the Jags don't get Trevor Lawrence. And I think
so far so good.
Yeah.
So far so good. At this point, looks like he's going to go to Cleveland.
The Chargers were the most disappointing team in a win, I think.
Yeah, it required a missed field goal by Randy Bullock to
like a missed chip shot. Like he acted like he hurt himself. I don't know. Maybe it was faking.
The Titans are most disappointing in a win.
If Gostkowski had missed that last kick, he just...
I don't want to think about it. He should have just held
his Achilles and be like, it's popped, sorry.
Just fake it.
Yeah.
Just all the way out the door.
Now's a good time for him to retire. It's like, you hit a game winner.
Yeah, just call on top.
I'm with you. Chargers.
What if Gostkowski... what if he does that this week? Vinatieri never would do that. Remember we kept saying, is this going to be it?
Didn't Vinatieri, like, go completely awry last year?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah, but he wouldn't quit. That's what they were saying. He should just quit. He should just be like, yeah, I'm done, guys.
Yeah, but, man, that paycheck's pretty good. and the workload's minimum.
Especially when you don't have to get hit, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Hard to turn that down.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll come back with more Hour 2. Optimism Tuesday rolls on here from the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Hour 2 rolls on Optimism Tuesday edition of the program. Did you see what's going on with the Texas Tech football
team? Yeah. They've had 69 positive cases.
Nice. Actually, no. Never mind.
All but seven have recovered.
That's good. Nice.
That's when you can add. Yeah. He's trying to help you out there.
So they're just saying there's seven active cases right now.
Right.
Okay.
And 62 others have had it and recovered. Talk about drinking from the cup. Kudos. Good job. They're going to be ready to go.
Dan Wolken last night was getting killed.
It's because he's a miserable little punk.
I'm trying to find, he tweeted, so here it is. Phil Mayer tweeted, according to numbers released by Texas Tech today, 75 players on the football team have tested positive for COVID-19. 69 have recovered and 6 cases are active. There are currently
Say that again?
75 players have tested positive.
I thought it was...
69 have recovered.
Oh, okay.
Oh, nice.
And 6 cases are active. There are currently 123 players on the team's active roster. Well, Dan Wolken quote tweeted it and said, "This is straight up horrible."
Man, yeah, so many recoveries
that all the guys are. And then
if
someone,
these kids don't start dying, my point's not going to be valid.
That's what he's saying.
I just don't understand how that's a good tweet. Like three words. If you're going to say something, say something.
Well, he does that so that when people come back at him, he can say, "How do you know what I meant?" When everyone knows what he meant. It was just like yesterday when he said, "So Sean Wade is opting out of the season, even though his father was protesting that Ohio State get to play."
Mm-hmm.
It's like, so the Big Ten have drugged their feet. It's September 14th. We still don't know if they're going to play, and a guy just decides, "Hey, I'm going to start working towards the NFL because I don't want to stay at Ohio State and still not have a season." And Wolken tries to dunk on him. It's like, buddy, he's leaving because the Big Ten is inept. They're stupid. They've messed this up beyond all recognition, and there's still a chance they don't play. Like, he's making a business decision.
Also, he's making a point of, like, a son making a decision for himself. That's exactly what Powers 1 is doing.
Exactly.
Right, yeah, you can't make one point without the other. It doesn't make any sense. Somebody, a blue check, Matt Barry, yeah, he's an ESPN studio. He does, this guy does SportsCenter at noon. Matt Barry, I don't know. You'd know his face.
You'd know his face.
You would.
All right.
He quote tweeted it and said, "Horrible? How about great news that 69 of the 75 players who tested positive have recovered?" Dan Wilkin replies, "You have brain worms if you think it's a good thing that their entire team got it." Isn't he specifically saying it's a good thing that they got better? He said that they who tested positive have recovered. He's saying it's a good thing they recovered, and Dan Wilkins' response is
brain worms
if you think it's a good thing their entire team got it.
He is unbearable. I wish I could go at him, but I'm blocked.
I know you would like to, but like everyone kills him. Like it
as
that's
they
why
should. Like,
blocked.
Does he have a? I know he has a lot of followers. Does anyone like agree with
say,
him?
Does he have a family?
I would guess not.
Hopefully
I mean, so. What person would be like?
Hopefully
yep, you're
not a little Dan Jr.
You're my guy.
Brain. He told an ESPN SportsCenter host he had brain worms.
According to Wikipedia, humans cannot get a lot of different types of varieties of brain worms. The only you can get are mainly animals.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Just fact checking.
Mm-hmm. I'll put it another way. If you think an entire football team getting COVID is good, there is something wrong with you.
Well, if they all got it and recovered, how is that bad?
It's not.
Okay.
I have no idea.
So now they can't get it during the season. They've all recovered. They're all perfectly healthy.
I have no time for deniers or people who don't take this virus seriously.
He just moves the goalpost. Like, no one's not taking it seriously. They're just saying that's great news that all these players have recovered.
Right.
Like, there was an outbreak. That stinks. But there was no negative consequence to it except probably some missed practice time. Still probably had less people out of practice than the Vols did. The Pac-12 says their earliest return date is mid-November. So now the Pac-12's trying to get in on this? That's good. They were so quiet for a long time.
I wonder how many guys at Texas Tech were out when they almost lost to Houston Baptist as like a 30-point favorite.
I'd guess a lot. Well, seven active cases and then contact tracing, I would imagine, if they do that there.
It was a bad week to be a Big 12 team.
Yeah, not named Oklahoma or Texas. Talked about that yesterday. Oof, rough. But that's the thing. They're playing against a lot of teams who have already played a game or two, and especially if you've got some guys out for the first time, it happens. Tough.
I mean, Wilkin really should have just been fired for breaking all integrity rules with journalism. I mean, he's basically a liar with his whole career because he's spinning stuff for people and presenting it as actual journalism. This is incredible.
But unsurprising.
Tech now a sleeper for the Big 12 championship? Anybody?
I'm going to say no. But cancellations or we'll see. We'll see. Indeed.
I'm glad we have Callum listening today. He's been correcting all my pronunciations. Apparently it's Matt Barry on Twitter, even though it's B-A-R-R-I-E. So there you go. Now you know.
Now I do know.
Now we're good to go there.
I'm not going to lie. I was going to say that, but I didn't want to be wrong because you sounded like you were very confident in your pronunciation.
I wasn't confident. I said I don't didn't know his name. But
you said I know his face. I don't recognize him.
I didn't recognize the name. Gone are the days where it was Dan and Keith. Always knew he was on SportsCenter. Stu,
Dan
Scott.
Dan Patrick?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Keith Urban.
Was it Keith Dan Urban? Wilkin that was going at Dan Patrick yesterday or the day before saying quit trusting Dan Patrick's sources on the Big Ten and the voting?
No. What,
which is
really?
Funny to me. I'm just like, hey, Dan, Wolken.
Wolken, yeah.
I'm going to say Dan Patrick probably has some connections in the...
Been doing this a long time.
I mean, he called the cancellation.
Yeah.
Like, day of. He's like, I'm hearing some news about the Big Ten. They might cancel. Now he's basically just reiterating what other reports have said, is that they're at least talking about it again. Dan Wolken, just whatever.
Was there not supposed to be a vote this weekend?
There was, and then they just didn't do it.
Okay.
So make that into whatever you want to make it into. I don't know why you would have all those conversations, look at new medical data, and then just not vote. I don't know what they're waiting on. I mean, you probably need to start in a month if you're the Big Ten to finish in time to be eligible for the college football playoff, and they – it's like they just think they have infinite amount of time, and I just don't know that that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they want to do, you know, them versus the Pac-12 and have their own two-league champion. I guess we go co-national champions, maybe? I don't know how this works. I have no idea.
Yeah, the other kind of media drama surrounding that was, you know, the guy that at Ohio State who had led the protest and his son opts out because he had come back for a senior year. Now the Big Ten's not playing and it's a mess. He's mm-hmm. opting out to just train for the NFL draft. And Dan Wolken tweeted, so the player whose father was protesting at the Big Ten office to let his son play is opting out right when the Big Ten is about to come back.
Yeah, I mentioned that earlier. Like
Aaron Torres.
Dan, what do you want, man?
Aaron Torres quote tweets, I try not to criticize other media publicly, but the idea that Dan Wolken would criticize a kid for going pro when that player returned for his senior year to try and win a title, then waited a month for the Big Ten to do what's right is an embarrassing and disgusting take.
And then he said something about, well, how is it a bad thing that the Big Ten is trying to look at all the data and make the best decision possible?
That was Barrett Salee.
No, that's what Dan Wolken said. Right. And then Barrett Salee, yeah, responded with, so what the SEC, ACC, and Big 12 did.
Yeah, whatever else did.
Yeah, Sean Wade, corner, Ohio State, announced yesterday, apparently he's seventh on Mel Kiper's big board, said that he had tried to be patient, but that the timeline just isn't adding up. They're pushing everything back. And he decided to just go ahead and declare for the draft. Again, the lack of transparency from the Big Ten probably has a lot of players thinking the same thing. He said, I felt like they were holding off for so long, I thought it was the best decision for me to declare for the draft and just go on preparing and getting ready for that. I wonder if you'll see more of that this week, if they continue to drag their feet on making a decision. Maybe that's what they want. Enough players declare for the draft, and then they just say, yeah, the season would be stupid anyway. We're just going to cancel it. Well, have you heard the latest that even if the Big Ten were to say you can play, that Michigan and Michigan State might not be allowed to?
Because of their governor?
Governor, yeah.
Yeah.
Which would be...
But it's not political at all, Houston. Don't make that mistake. It's not political.
That was fascinating. I couldn't imagine being a Michigan player. And then the Big Ten says, yeah, you can play, and nope, still can't. High school can. Students can be on campus, but you can't play football.
I just moved to South Dakota and get a ranch or something.
Did the Michigan football Twitter tweet out it just means more again?
Bigger than football. Bigger than football. That's what it
is. Yeah.
You said move to South Dakota. I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but the battle for Atlantis.
I'd be close.
It's coming to, coming to a Dakota near you.
Is there an Atlantis,
sure,
South Dakota?
No.
No.
They're just going to call it that and go to the, was it the Samford Pentagon?
It's a Dakota.
There is an Atlantis hotel in Rapid City, South Dakota.
There was a quote talking about wherever, I think it was Sioux Falls or however you pronounce that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they said that that's the Bahamas of the Dakotas, so that's why they wanted to put it there.
The Bahamas of the Dakotas.
That was a quote from an ESPN article. But don't trust me because I can't read.
The Bahamas of the Dakotas.
They're going to play at the Samford Pentagon. It's an indoor arena located in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. It opened in 2013 and has a seating capacity of 3,250 spectators. It hosts the Sioux Falls Skyforce of the NBA G League.
Neat.
Yeah. Pretty building. What do you think? Not quite
SoFi.
Probably wouldn't have the pool that the Bahamas resort would have.
We're not going to have any fans anyway, so no one can really swim in it. It's probably drained for COVID.
Yeah, you know. You can't drain the ocean in the Bahamas. That's going to be a bummer.
That's true.
Those kids. Go to South Dakota.
It's lovely.
Well, at least they don't have to wear a mask when they're out there. We'll come back with more Hour 2. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Welcome back into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. Pick you up some White Claw Hard Seltzer ahead of the weekend as we got NFL Week 2 coming up. Tried the Black Cherry last night. Pretty good?
Pretty good.
It really is just a hint of flavor. They got 8 refreshing flavors right now, including fresh watermelon, sweet tangerine, and juicy lemon. A wave of pure refreshment. Just a hint of fruit flavor, only 100 calories. White Claw, hard seltzer, made pure. It's Optimism Tuesday. It makes me wonder, as Texas Tech news, like, I wish we knew how many COVID cases each team had had across all of college football. You just, like, go to the list. Like, oh, this team.
Just the number.
Yeah. It's like, oh, this team's had way more. This team hasn't had it at all. I mean, you'd kind of hope to be on the had a lot of it list, right? I mean, in a way.
I guess, yeah.
Because, I mean, once someone's had it and you know about it, they're typically already better. So it's a weird timing thing. Like, you don't typically find out somebody has it, at least in this situation, until they're already good to go.
What do you mean, good to go? Oh.
Like, they're over it by the time you kind of know who has it, had it when.
Yeah. As fans, you mean, yeah.
Right, yeah.
So it's, yeah, Jeremy Pruitt spoke to the Knoxville Quarterback Club yesterday and said that every player is getting tested 3 times a week.
Okay.
He did say that you had a couple players that were out for 14 days, they came back, and then were out an additional 14 days due to contact tracing, neither time testing positive themselves. Seems problematic. Just saying.
I just want to know if they're still living together. Now, I need to tell Trey just to ask that question. Hey, do you guys have any plans to
isolate?
Separate just every kid in their own room now that the season's here?
Or at least those who have had it with...
Put them together?
Yeah. Or, you know.
Or, yeah, one kid that hasn't had it with kids that have.
He did say that he's excited about his team, thinks they have a really, really good culture, and that this is the most talented team he's had since he's been here, with the opportunity to have depth and create some competition. Hopefully, they'll be able to get all the guys out on the field again soon. He said they have a 10-day quarantine if somebody tests positive. Then a 4-day reacclimation period. He said sometimes they can practice a little bit on the 15th day after they were originally diagnosed. They've had some guys that have had it with no issues at all.
Okay.
And a couple that it's taken them a little bit longer to kind of get back into, I guess, I feel really good mode.
Shape, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of impacts everybody a little bit differently. The kids that are out 14 days from contact tracing are still being tested all the way through that. So even if they're negative for the 14 days, they're still out. And then he said this, quote, "But just for example, we've got a couple kids that were out 14 days. They came back for 1 day. Now they're out 14 more. So they're missing 28 days of preparation. It's hard to be prepared to play in a football game. I'm sure that's not only at Tennessee. That's probably all over the place right now. But I just know what's going on here. So we have our hands full. Our kids have a challenge. We really have to do a nice job in meetings and walkthroughs, and we have to have a lot of people ready to play because you never know who's going to be in or out. Before you get on the bus to leave on Fridays, you have another test, and a guy that might have been preparing to play the whole week. You find out on Friday that he's out, so you have to have the guy behind him ready to play. Depth will absolutely be a critical part of this season.
How do they come back from one day and then... That makes no sense.
They come back one day and then
who
someone
are they
else...
around? Someone else in there, like... Yeah. If they're I'm so confused.
I don't know, man. Sorry, I just don't know how to answer the question.
They must be saying if they're like at practice in the same drill group that like could have to quarantine, which makes no sense.
Safety first.
Yeah, until
I guess. Whatever. It was a lot of stuff about typical coach speak, fundamentals. Da 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 da. I said they might not get to do game like a real game week practice until week three of the season. That they're still going to be in fall camp mode. The first two games.
I took that as they're not going to scale back and just walk through. They're going to actually like keep going. Is right. that the way you took it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like they just can't because they're going to have so many guys still trying to catch up. They're just not going to be able to do the typical kind of light practice during game week. They're going to have to kind of go, a little harder early on to make sure everybody's in shape and up to speed. He was asked if the SEC could do anything to help with contact tracing. He said this. He said, the first thing we all want to do is protect our student athletes. That's first and foremost. Nobody is trying to take any risk or anything like that. I'm no expert in contact tracing. I just know that within each state, the counties kind of control that. Each state is different in how they do it. I don't think there's any way we'll ever get all 14 SEC schools in the SEC or all 14 schools in the same frame of mind. I think everybody probably knew that going in. Everybody is just going to do the best they can. It seems like it has affected us maybe more so than others. Just reading about it, I don't know if they can do anything about the contact tracing. Basically saying there's nothing you can do about it. Regarding the contact tracing, unless, like you said, can you split everybody up and just say, hey, just live by yourself until we get into the season? I just wonder how it's getting kind of in, right?
Yeah.
Are they getting this because they live off campus at an apartment and they're in the lobby? Is it air, right? Is it HVAC? Air flowing in on a shared unit type deal? I have no idea. He did mention true freshman Javontez Spraggins as an offensive lineman who's gotten a lot of extra reps due to players being out and said he looks like a guy who can contribute in year one. A little bit more depth on your offensive line there, in case you were wondering.
Never a bad thing. Yeah, I don't understand this at all. Like, if you come back one day and then...
Someone you were around test positive, you're out 14.
But
yeah, I mean that isn't that how you're reading all this?
Yeah, but I don't know how you're around them. Like you go back into your like apartment with three other roommates.
I mean, it could be a position group meeting. I'm sure. I know there's
no. That's not. They should be spread out.
I'm just saying.
Like I don't. That's not the rules.
Did you touch anything that they touched? I mean, it could be that simple. Like, did you touch the football and then they touched the football?
That means that Tennessee football is having to be stricter than the CDC guidelines for workplaces.
I think
that's
his point, is that it's the county's decision and they're a little, especially right now as the cases continue to go up since UT opened back. I'm doubting they're going to remove restrictions or reduce them anytime soon. So, yeah, it feels like we're being unfairly impacted as compared to the rest of the SEC. But what do? You can't just say no. Right? I mean, if you do that, then you got a whole other list of problems.
Yeah, if somebody knows where this is, I just want to know what the Knox County Health Department's policy is.
Well, it was 24 days for a while. Like,
but that's only if you live with the person. That's only if you're in the same house.
That they only got 14 seems like they're getting off 10 days easy.
So if you quarantine for 14, though, and then you come back into the house and then somebody gets positive that same day, like that's physically impossible with the rules. Like, if everybody in the house has to quarantine the first time and they all quarantine and then you come back in the house after being quarantined, how does someone then have it? Unless they got it somewhere else.
That's what I'm saying. If you quarantine with the person, and I don't know, maybe it's an incubation period thing, maybe you're more contagious for longer, so then that person who's had it is out and clear and so are you, but then maybe a roommate tests positive once they go back, I don't know. And then so the entire apartment's just quarantined again, except the guy who had it.
And maybe that didn't actually happen. Maybe Pruitt's just saying that's possible. You know, mm-hmm. It's possible a guy can be out 28 days.
No, he's...
Or did he say somebody
no,
actually...
No, yeah, he said
happened.
We've had guys who were out 14 days, came back, and then were out an additional 14 days, so they've missed 28 days of prep. Not 28 practices, obviously, but, you know, conditioning work, unless they've been able to do some on the side. They've been able to Zoom in for meetings, but obviously they haven't missed any team periods.
I just don't get it.
We're all learning as we go. He does like his team, though.
I mean, there's an article right here that the health department is changing their close contacts definition. This is the Knox County Health Department. From 10 minutes or more within 6 feet or less to the new guideline, 15 minutes or more, which is what I talked about yesterday. So I don't like. It makes no sense why UT would be harder on themselves than the Knox County Health Department is, if that's what they're saying they're going with. I don't know. I guess it's just frustrating that we don't have answers to that. So we'll come back with more. Final segment, hour two. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. There's a fat lady singing joke in there somewhere. Final segment, hour number two. This segment brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Dr. Stephen Malone and Michael Costa take pride in listening to and communicating with their patients to help them make the best decisions about their dental health. Don't put off your dental visits in 2020. You've heard Dr. Costa tell you on the commercial, there hasn't been one reported COVID transmission
at any dentist office. Yeah.
Think about that. Knoxville Smiles is a state-of-the-art facility on South Peters Road right here in West Knoxville as well. Safety and cleanliness is their first priority. Brand new air scrubber keeps you safe as well. For routine dental cleanings, tooth, wisdom tooth removal, restorative procedures, Invisalign, veneers, implants, they do it all at Knoxville Smiles. Contact them today at 865-539-1776. That's 865-539-1776 to set up an appointment, or you can even just take a virtual tour. Get more info at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. That's KnoxvilleSmiles.com. It is Optimism Tuesday. I want to know how many cases Tennessee's had, because if they're recovered cases, that's good news. Obviously, if they're active cases, that may be good, maybe bad. Just depends.
Some good, some bad.
Some good, some bad. It's going to be a weird football season, but
to say the least.
This is why I told you back in March that the people telling you that if we locked down and just did our part and stayed in the house, we would get football season. And I told you that was a really, really dumb take, because no matter your COVID mitigation strategy opinion, whether you're an epidemiologist, a statistician, a ditch digger, doesn't matter. If life and death didn't matter, if the virus, if you didn't have to weigh that in at all, the fastest way to have football season would be to just let everybody go ahead and get it. Now, that's not a take on how, again, that has nothing to do with strategy or policy. I'm just saying, the take that making sure no one gets it is the best way to have football is completely fake news. That's the Dan Wolkin camp. Horrible that all these kids have gotten over coronavirus.
That was a fascinating take.
I don't know. I've now known young people that have gotten coronavirus. I now know old people that have gotten coronavirus. I know people in the middle that have gotten coronavirus. I know people that have barely even felt anything. I know people that have really battled it. I know people that have passed away from it. I know we don't want to go off anecdotal evidence, but there's enough evidence out there to let us know kind of where we should be on this thing. And I just don't understand why we won't accept reality. It was a quote yesterday, basically, like, Sweden's won. Like, they're done. Their number of deaths now each day is more often zero than any other number. Or than any number at all. It's not like more zeros than threes. I mean, it's more zeros than having a number now. So I just don't understand when we're going to look at the scoreboard and go, oh, crap. Yeah, we were doing this wrong. Okay, now we know. Now we have the game plan. Now we know how to win. But no, people just going to believe what they're going to believe no matter what.
Nice one, football.
Well, this weekend was nice. The NFL.
It was. Last night, too.
Yeah.
Except for the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about another game that late this year.
If they would just move it up an hour, I think it would really help. It'd still be late, but it wouldn't
no,
be.
No, I agree. Like, that'd, just be, that'd be just go six. That'd be 6:20 on the West Coast. That's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 7:20 Mountain. And it's not like we're waiting on fans to get to the game. People True. Can just go home and watch it.
Just watch it at work. The first game, I mean.
If they're even able to go to work.
On the West Coast, yeah.
If they're not working from home.
Yeah.
I mean, but obviously the first game had to start. That's the problem. You have the doubleheader. Maybe just get rid of the Monday doubleheader.
Still, though, 6:15, I mean, that's like 3:15 is not a bad start time, really, even out on the West Coast. That's what I mean. Like, you can kind of cheat work.
Saturday.
Watch it there.
They can't do that, though, because of college ball. I know that I agree with you. They have a deal. College doesn't go Sunday, NFL doesn't go Saturday. They both argue over Thursday night, but. It is what it is.
Instead, we'll give you a 30-point Clemson win. I'm just saying, like, not generally speaking, just this year. Like, I mean, this year obviously is a lot different.
It was very different.
And based off the amount of games you had for college football on Saturday, there wasn't a matchup that was really what I would say top tier worth tuning into.
Mm-hmm.
Move all the games up
some
a
good,
little
there
bit.
There were some good games, but yeah. Nothing that jumped off the page when it started.
Yeah, like, even if you want to keep it later, like a 9 o'clock start on Saturday night. It's still like an hour earlier than when they started.
But mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter now. It's over with.
No, like you said, don't have to worry about it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really don't mind it just one time. If this was every Monday, it'd be super annoying.
All right, I'd never make it.
Yeah,
unless you know the Titans were playing. 0% chance.
Is the Browns-Bengals game on Thursday night only on the NFL Network?
Good question.
One moment.
Will says yes.
Isn't that what they normally do after the first Thursday night game?
Well, what they've done in the past is they have it on the NFL Network, and then they have another TV, like a major news
network.
I thought
that was just for a few of them.
Yeah, it's been some of them, but I can't – it depends on – I can't remember when those start or when those end.
I thought it was just like the first half of the year is what it's usually been.
It was that at least one year. It was on CBS, right?
This says just NFL, according to ESPN's schedule. 8:20, First Energy Stadium, Cleveland.
That'll stink.
It'll be a lot of bad football, like not two good teams, but the game itself might be entertaining.
Week 9.
At least it's kind of a rivalry game.
Week 9, it'll be on Fox, NFL Network, and Amazon, Davey.
I don't know. I guess I'm kind of glad that they're getting this bad one out of the way.
And week 8. I thought maybe it was the second half of the season thing, but week 7's on Fox, Amazon. Maybe it's just the first couple weeks that aren't.
Did anyone get a Twitter game this year?
I think Amazon bought that.
Oh, okay.
Type of package.
And they're not doing any London game, correct?
I don't think so. It's week 5 is what when it starts. So I got 5 through 9 so far.
I got bad news.
The end of the season.
What's that?
Next week's Thursday night matchup, not good either.
Go on.
Miami.
Not going to watch it.
At Jacksonville.
Good Lord.
Jacksonville? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Looks like Looks like starting with week five, every Thursday night game.
Week four. This is just not the year of Thursday night games. I can tell you that much.
Well, they've
on Fox and Amazon.
They've kind of been crap games. They're probably just trying to put crap teams on it just so, you know, the good teams aren't being punished.
So week two, Bengals Browns. Week three,
Jags Dolphins.
Week four, Broncos Jets.
Not good, Cotton. Not good.
Does it ever get better? Let's find out. Week five. Oh, that's all right. Tampa Bay at Chicago.
That sounds okay now. We'll see at the time. But yeah, on paper, not terrible.
That one, yeah, that one, as you mentioned, Nate, Fox and NFL. Oh, week six should be good. Kansas City at Buffalo.
Ooh, that actually is a really good one. That's a tough one for Kansas City, unless they're bye weeks the week before. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's a travel. Who does Kansas City have the week before? Do you know? Is that week four? Because that's the week five game?
It'd be week. No, that's the week six game.
So week five?
Week five, they have.
Could that be the Chiefs' first opportunity?
They host the Raiders.
Yeah, probably not. We'll see.
Raiders didn't look bad.
Yeah. Panthers are pretty good, too. Hour three next.